This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With a Giving Tree kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. I can't talk.
First day with a new mouth. Continue. Keep going.
So we're answering a question or a topic given by one of our listeners, Austin D. Thatcher, and he wants us to answer the question about grace and forgiveness in the family.
Let's get it.
This is a random question, but one of my friends, he's a staff member's husband, was asking me if he could do a little deer hunting on your property.
Sure, nobody else is doing it.
Yeah, is that a yes? Yeah, I mean, he's like this archery with a bow. So
he said you got.
He said he's been scouting at your land.
I have one Nicholas's friend. One of Nicholas's friends was like, "Hey man, can I hunt?" I was like, sure, nobody else does. He's like, I'm going to go set up a camera and see if there's anything back there. And he's like, there is. I was like, oh, I mean, have at it, bro. But I don't think he ever did. But
okay, yeah. He's saying you got a creek running back here, maybe?
Yeah, we do. We got a lake. Tell him yes, and then tell him to kill him. Give me some deer jerky. How about that?
Okay, that's a deal.
Great deal.
He'll be super excited.
Love that. And
super excited about that. So I know that you don't have any idea what the topic's going to be. As we're entering into these podcasts.
Correct. Every week.
Notes. I've got like
17 pages. Yeah, we know.
I've got a stapled stack of papers here on this one. So this episode was a topic suggestion from X.
Okay.
Formerly known as Twitter.
You don't have to say that every time. You're driving me nuts. Say X.
So this is from Austin D. Thatcher. So Austin, we appreciate the question that you threw out to us. And he wanted us to talk about grace and forgiveness in the family.
Oh,
grace and forgiveness in the family. And so I titled this episode, Love Keeps No Record of Wrongs.
Corinthians, huh?
Yep. First Corinthians is a famous passage of scripture that
you hear. If you go to a wedding, you'll hear it.
If you hear any wedding, like so I've officiated, you know, hundreds of weddings. And every time I'll ask the couple, I says, is there a verse you want me to for sure read in the, and it's always like First Corinthians, you know, the love chapter. Mm-hmm. But in that, and it says, we keep no records of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And so there's different kinds of love in our families.
Yep.
So you have romantic love, husband and wife love. You have parent-child love. And then you have child-to-parent love, which to me, those are two different things, how a parent loves a child and how a child loves a parent.
It's a different relationship. It's not the same.
It's a different relationship.
You answer to me, I don't answer to you. So it's, yeah, 100%.
And then we have sibling love. Yeah. You have siblings. We don't all have to like our family members, but we do have to love them.
And we don't.
So love keeps no record of wrong. So I wanted to apply this to marriage, family, relationships. Every family has conflict.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's no family's perfect. And just to expound on that a little bit, we have extended families. We have in-laws.
Speaking of getting less and less perfect. Further you go out, everybody's got that crazy family member. And if you don't, by the way, it's you.
Yeah. Hey, you're still in my line here. But it's true. Like every family member has that crazy uncle or that crazy, you know, mother-in-law or whatever. And if you don't know who it is, it's you, right?
100%.
That is for sure. And so, and then a lot of our families these days, there's divorce. So I know some kids, they don't have like two sets of grandparents. They have like four sets of grandparents. And there's all kind of conflict within the family relationship. I was thinking about how we live together in the same house. There's going to be conflict. We're not always going to get along. There's going to be fights.
Multiple personalities. Mm-hmm. So Not everybody's even going to come close to seeing it the same way. The more kids you have, you're trying to accomplish a goal with people seeing it different ways. And just dinner, like, you know, what do you want for dinner? It's going to be different, you know? And so it definitely gets tough, man, because you got, you know, three, four, you know, once you start having kids, you know, you have a kid, you had a third, you have a kid, you had a fourth, and a lot of opinions, a lot of personalities, a lot to discuss, and a lot that goes into it.
Yes. I think as you grow in marriage, hopefully you're growing closer to each other and you're learning to work out the conflict. I remember when Jennifer and I first got married, we were on a summer beach project with Campus Outreach, which is where we lived in Panama City Beach for the summer in this hotel. And you had about 150 college students down there. They work jobs during the day, and then you do discipleship and beach evangelism and training. So I was on staff with the organization. So Jennifer's a brand new mom. You know, she's you know, we have dinner time, like at 6 o'clock or something. So we had this pickup basketball court at the facility, and it was low goals. So you get full court basketball, but they're like 9 foot goals.
So you could touch the rim then.
I could dunk. I mean, I could like so. So
oh, that's right. You were young. This was.
Yeah, I'm like 25.
So you could. Yeah. You could get the rim.
I could still. My vertical was at least like 6 inches. Now it's like 1 inch. So anyway, my team was winning. You know, like you hold the court. You keep playing. You know, and this is like outdoor Panama City Beach. You know, and so
kids are lacking this nowadays. By the way, they don't have courts to go have to earn and stay there. Like, and you got to beat people.
Yeah.
Like, and then if you lose, you get off and you go somewhere. Like, you don't get to play again. Somebody else gets to play, and you got to sit there and wait. Like, they don't do that anyway. Side note. Sorry.
Yeah. So I was like 20 minutes late to dinner.
Okay.
You know, so in my no big deal. And so Jennifer's like, she's waiting on me. We've got to be at a meeting at like 7, you know, so.
So you got in at 6:20?
Yeah, like 6:20, okay. 6. So I'm already.
Sweaty.
Yeah, sweaty. Okay. I'm already cutting into it. And she was upset. Like, well, where were you? I'm like, well, my team was winning. And she was like,
court.
So in her mind, like, basketball was more important than the marriage. And I was like, well, it's ministry. It's like discipleship.
Oh,
it's
you
like,
dropped the ministry.
Like
card.
Life on life discipleship. You know, I'm pouring into these guys. And so then she ends up, you know, prepare. You know, she sets the meal down and all this. And so I'm looking on the plate there, and there's no meat. And you remember the Wendy's commercial, like, where's the beef?
Yeah.
So being an idiot that I am, like, I was like, where's the beef? Like, where's the
kidding.
Where's the
you
meat?
You were joking.
No, I was being serious. Like, where's the meat? Where's the beef?
So to be clear, you came in 20 plus minutes late and you sat down and you immediately complained about the meal.
Pretty much.
Okay. That sounds like
pretty much. Could have been some.
So is this a podcast on what not to do in a relationship? Because you're covering the bases right now.
I'm just sharing an example of how you can have conflict.
How did she respond to the where's the beef?
Well, she basically explained to me that we had a protein. You know, she went through the whole food groups. And
what was the protein?
You know, I think it was like macaroni and cheese or beans or something. I can't remember. I can't remember the exact meal.
But no meat.
But there was no meat. And so I was like, well, you know, we always have a meat with our meal.
Who's she, we?
She's like, who's we?
Who's we? You talking about like your mom and growing up?
Yeah, like my mom and growing up. And,
another one,
you know,
not to do. Oh, don't, man, say, so it's just my, like, mom did this.
It's just like one thing after another. But I think that's just an example of how something really small could cause, you know, conflict in the family. You know, cause pain, cause hurt.
And we've seen this. Yeah. Like, and unfortunately, we've got a long list of these, all of us. Mm-hmm. If you've been married for longer than a year, you probably have a long list. And then you start to learn, because here's the thing, like, we all come into every relationship in every situation with expectations. And when your expectation maybe is to have meat on the table, like, and she doesn't know that, that's when we start to have a problem, right? Now, how we communicate that, I think, is important. I think as you get older, you get way better at asking questions, mm-hmm, and not being, even though you asked a question, where's the meat? Not being a jerk about it, but I think the expectations is always something to be discussed. Like, I can't say that enough. I say it on here all the time, but like, expectations about dinner, expectations about what time you're supposed to be home. Like, I think you probably learned a lesson that day and you mm-hmm. realized like, okay, she expects me to be home at 6. Like, I think you'll hear people say, oh, you're whipped. Like back in the day when you're younger mm-hmm. and when yeah. you get older, you're like, I am. Yes. 100%. I'm trained. Yes. Is what it comes down to. And you learn how to prioritize things that are really mm-hmm. important. And the basketball for an extra 20 minutes probably wasn't that important. And now you would Correct. Know better.
Yeah.
Like you would know better big time. But when you're younger, you don't. And
yeah, we were literally married for less than a month.
Yeah.
So you're still learning each other. You're still figuring things out. And so you learn a lot of lessons over the years, how to communicate. One of the things, one of the secrets I learned over the years is instead of saying I was going to be home at 6, give a more realistic, I'll be home at 6:30, but then get there at 6.
Always better. And by the way,
what's it called? In
business, that's what I'm getting to. In business is the same thing. Undersell and over deliver.
Yeah.
Because if I say that it's a dollar, if I say it's a dollar and it's $1.01, they're pissed. But if I say, oh, this might be like $1.50 and I say, oh, it was a dollar, like, woohoo, I'm happy. Or if it's under, but yeah, when you,
what are you selling? What are you selling?
Whatever you're selling. Well, I'm selling me. Okay.
What are you selling for $1.50?
Yeah, I don't know. Get that Wendy's cheeseburger you're talking about. Get the beef.
No, but I think resolve and conflict, but I think if we go with our theme of what we're talking about, love keeps no record of wrongs. Like Jennifer's not holding that basketball incident against me, you know, 30 years later. It's funny. And that's why I bring it up, because it's a funny story.
Yeah.
Where's the beef? What an idiot. You know, I should have been grateful that I had someone cooking a meal for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, typically back in the day, I would have played basketball, jumped in the pool, took one of your kind of showers, yeah. and then maybe, you know, grabbed some McDonald's or something on the way to the meeting. Yeah. You know, that would have been like a single guy thing to do.
But my question would be, how fast can you make it funny?
That's a good question.
That how fast can you make anything in your relationship not serious and funny? That's the best way to get over things. Like, how fast can we laugh about this? Mm-hmm. How fast can we go mess that one up? You're right. Should have been mm-hmm. home at 6:20. Like, my bad. And then how fast can you be like, hey, I'll be back. I'm going to play pickup. Right. Like, just being funny. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. you can't. Part of, you know, keeping no records of right or wrong is you can't take things so serious and so literal. Right. Like, all the time. It's just because somebody doesn't meet expectations or hurt you doesn't mean it was on purpose mm-hmm. and doesn't mean they were trying to hurt you. Most of the time, I would argue, especially the people that love you, I would say if you would assume 99% of the time, it is on accident, 100% on accident. Think about how much different that looks.
Yeah.
And keeping a right and wrong record. Mm-hmm. Like, I know they didn't mean to do that. Like, I know my wife didn't mean to hurt my feelings. She wouldn't do that on purpose, but it did hurt my feelings. And hey, babe, this hurt my feelings because of this. Most of your wives, most of you husbands, we ain't doing it again. But if I don't know, how do you expect me to have any expectation that mm-hmm. I know that, right? Like, so I think that's you talked about communication earlier. That's an important mm-hmm. part of it, man. But how fast can we laugh? Like, humor that's is good. So great. How fast can you make a joke out of it? And
some of our ongoing family jokes have to do with conflict that happened.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's another funny story. This happened 29 years ago.
God, you're old.
Yes. Jennifer's mom was over at her house. We're living in Birmingham, Alabama, and we were playing Phase 10.
Oh yeah, great game. They had that game 29 years ago.
Yeah, and Jennifer's mom was cheating. Like, she's super competitive.
Legit cheating.
I'm super competitive.
She was legit cheating.
In my mind. In my mind.
So she was beating you.
Yes, she was beating me. She was like a couple. She like skipped some phases. You know what I'm saying?
Because she beat you. Because she, yeah. When you yeah, do that, you so, phase up every time you do
so
that.
So I shouldn't have done this, but I like called her out on it.
Oh boy.
And so anyway, how'd so that now
go? What did you say?
I can't remember the thing, but
you basically said you're cheating.
The big yeah. You skipped a phase, like, you know. And so anyway, the big joke now is phase. You know, phase. Is this gonna be a phase 10 moment?
What phase?
So my brother and all. Well, and I always joke around who the favorite son-in-law is.
It ain't you.
And he always brings up the Phase 10. You know, it's like, well, you remember Phase 10? The Phase 10
so
story.
So if that happened now, if that would have happened like now, with now Pastor Jay, would you have just let it go?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You wouldn't even say a
word. Yeah, and I do that all the time now. Like, I think in the early days, I used to be super competitive. I'm not as competitive as I used to be. I mean, you're the most competitive person I know.
But I'm not as competitive as I used to be either. I think you die. That's part of dying to yourself as you get older and having kids and realizing things. But like, that's a...
Do you let your kids beat you?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, let's put it this way. Like Nicholas, me and him used to play one-on-one a lot like last year. And instead of making it very physical, like I give him space and allow him to try to win without making it physical. So it's not miserable. So he didn't leave like, good Lord, we're pissed off at each other and stuff like that. So definitely learning.
Joel and I definitely had a few of those one-on-one where I got too physical.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because, so you want him to earn it. I don't want to give my kids anything, but I just not play as physical and as rough as I would. So to make sure that when we leave, like we're not pissed at each other. But I think, on the whole topic though, how like it gets easier as you get older to let things go. How many times do you look back and you're like, man, that was so stupid and it didn't matter. And try to understand that, like whatever it is you're dealing with, most of the time it's not going to matter at all. So like being able to just flush it and being able to say, I'm sorry, being able to move on and not pick those battles, like a lot of times will save you a bunch of heartaches. But when they also mess up, like the grace that we extend, again, we're taking that grace from
here. So what we're talking about now is just these little situations. But let's shift the conversation a little bit to, I think many people have been wronged by family members in a serious way.
Yeah.
Like we're talking like lots of pain, now I've counseled hundreds of people through the church.
Spit that out.
I've counseled hundreds of people and there's some serious pain in there. Like there's, like people have been wronged and we live in a very broken, sinful, world. And so, how do you keep no record of wrongs when you have really been wrong? I mean, we're not talking about like, where's the beef comment. We're talking about like someone really
screwing up bad,
hurt you or hurt one of your kids.
Yeah. I think, forgiveness is not a choice that we have. That's not a choice. That's a direct order. So if you are a believer, forgiveness is a direct order from Jesus. So that's step one. We have to understand that. That doesn't mean reconciliation. That doesn't mean the relationship is back to what it was. But the forgiveness has to happen. And that's on you. Like that's 100% on you.
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
We're to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. And if we don't forgive others, Christ
won't forgive us.
I mean, at the bottom of the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, right after the little tagline. But so I think that's where I would start. Like it has to start there. It has to start, if I'm going to keep no record, I've got to forgive it. Now,
and forgiveness is a choice.
Forgiveness
is
100% a choice.
You can choose to forgive.
And I've seen, and so have you. You've seen miraculous things that shouldn't be forgiven. My mom is a great example. My mom has no business forgiving her mom for what she did to her. Like, no business. I mean, my mom was given away. My mom was lived in foster homes. And, like, she was given very little chance to succeed because of her mother. And my mom's mom came back in her life when I was playing football at Georgia. And my mom brought her like to games and actually allowed her to like come back into her life. And it was an unbelievable example of like forgiveness. And it was awesome. It was really, really cool. And, but that was a choice, 100% a choice. Again, you don't have to be best friends with them, but it is your choice to forgive them.
Another thing I wrote down is choose to love. Like we have to choose to forgive, but I mean, it's a different way of viewing it. But you can also choose to love. What are your thoughts on that, choosing to love? Let me read a Bible verse for you and give you a chance to think about it. 1 John 4:7-11 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus, into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but they loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for us, for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love others."
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's not a choice either. I mean, obviously that's something that we are to obey as well. I mean, when you boil down to what religion is, what did Jesus say? love God, love your brother. Mm-hmm. Love, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a, I don't think that's an option. But again, I think we can also, you talked about earlier about not liking. It goes back to like hating the sin, not the sinner, right? I don't mm-hmm. love the situation. I don't love what happened, but I still love that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, if we can separate the two, which is, it's not easy, man. And all of that will take time. Like that will, especially things that really hurt and really sting, like yeah. that will take a lot of time. But
I was thinking about your mom's situation, which blew me away when I heard her story, because I had no idea that she had gone through all that.
Oh, yeah.
And choose to forgive. She forgave her mom, but she chose to love. Like, I feel like choosing to love is taking it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And by taking it, like bringing her to your games. Like, that's more than just forgiving you. I'm now choosing to love you. I'm going the extra.
I'm giving you access to my life and
yeah.
building a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like you forgive, but then choosing to love, to, in my mind, is like taking it to a whole nother level, like taking it further.
Well, it's kind of like what you're saying, though. It's choosing to forget now.
Mm-hmm.
It's keeping no record now.
Yeah.
Because you can forgive and still kind of have that little scoreboard over there on the wall, right? But when you take it to that level, like you've gotten rid of the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. So the first step when someone hurts, wrongs you, or hurts you, is choose to love. Will you choose to love that person who wronged you? Second thing I put was choose to pray.
Yeah. I think it's cool that I think it's a good example of what every relationship is supposed to be. But if you would just put things in context of the people you know, of like your family, like there's nothing my wife can do probably. There's very little she could possibly do that I'm not going to love her.
Hmm.
Right? And I'm not going to forgive her. I mean, it's just the case. My son and my daughter, like there's just, I mean, I know they're going to mess up and they're going to have some bad things, but I'm still going to love them. Like that's kind of the attitude really it should be with everybody. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, yeah. I think it's easy with family because
why do you think it's easier?
Because I think, well, first of all, they're blood, they're closer to you, but
trust.
I think the bigger thing is when I know what's inside of your heart
mm-hmm.
and when I know you forgive, or I know who you are and what you are. And I know that sometimes you're going to mess up and that's part of it. But when I trust you and I love you mm-hmm. and I know you, it's easier to do that. When I don't know you and you wrong me, it's like, what? Like, I don't really even know what you stand for, who you are, why would you even do that? But when you know them and you respect them and you love them, but even then, they're still going to hurt you. It's still mm-hmm. going to sting. But I think I wish I could love my kids like I love my wife. And I'm not saying in a weird, creepy way, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying like my wife, I offer forgiveness to pretty easily and acceptance pretty easily. My kids, I'm like, because they don't know certain things and they're growing and learning, I'm like, I don't give them that freedom that I give her. Like she can mess up and it's all good. My kids a lot of times are like, why are you screwing this up? Like, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? Where I would never talk to my bride like that. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, but it's true.
Yeah. I'm thinking it has to do with trust, because you have such a close, intimate relationship with Lindsay. You expect the best out of her. You're going to give her the benefit of the doubt no matter what, but someone you don't even know, I think we're skeptical. And, I've made the mistake in the past of being, too, generous with people, I guess. So yeah, choose to forgive, choose to love, and choose to pray. What do you pray? Pray for God to heal their heart. I wrote this down, which is interesting. You know, we did the message a few weeks ago, found people, find people.
Yep.
With the golf balls and the people and the sheep and the shepherd. So someone came up to me after the service and they said, hurt people, and found people, find people. And I thought to myself, what a great summary of life and relationships. And which one are you? Are you a found person that finds people? Or are you a hurt person that hurts people? And I thought, not that you can overgeneralize the population, but I think
you're going to anyways.
But I think that you could fall in one or two categories. Yeah, I mean, like, hurt people hurt people.
Loved people love people.
That's a good, yeah, that'd be another good way of saying it.
I'd say it like that.
Yeah.
When you're loved and you feel loved and you know God's love, it's easier to extend it.
Well, of course, Jesus is our greatest example. And when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're... Like, he's praying for them, he's loving them, he's forgiving them. Like, he's doing all of the above. I mean, he's our example. He's our model. Pray for God to bless their lives. That's a tough thing. So
impossible to, we've talked about this before, but it's next to impossible to hate someone when you're praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're praying for good things to happen to them. And I know we have new audience all the time, but like, that's, try it. Like, whoever's hurt you and wronged you, try to pray for them for forgiveness and their success and good things for them. And it's really hard to find the hate button again.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention any names on the podcast because I got in trouble recently mentioning some
did
names.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, but
the first lady got
no. I'm not going to get into it. Okay. I don't get into it.
I'm not going to mention any names.
But I'm not going to mention any names. But there's one particular lady in our church. I love her to death, and I think about her every week. She sits on the second row, and every time I prepare a message, I think how is this going to impact her? But her daughter was 16 years old, killed by a drunk driver, and she still comes to church every Sunday, which I've seen people go...
One of two ways.
Either you run to God or you run from God. Well, she's run to God, and she comes to church, and she was telling me that she was praying for that guy's salvation. Like, she had forgiven the drunk driver and was praying for his salvation every day. Like, praying that God would bless this person's life. And I'm thinking, that is a great example of love. That is a great example of love keeps no record of wrongs. Because the natural response, you'd want bad things.
You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's literally, like, praying for his salvation.
That's crazy.
And forgave him, loves him, praying for his salvation. And
I know you got 17 more pages. Pretty amazing. We've got to wrap this thing up, so you have to land the plane there, homeboy.
Well, let's land the plane. You already covered the choose to forgive, so that we can skip down.
My wife says that all the time, by the way, in prayer.
Land the plane.
We're about to eat and stuff. She's like, "All right, land the plane."
Who says that?
My wife. All the time. They're like, "Listen, when we're hungry, like, no long prayers, please. Like, we just want to eat." Like, and all of them, they all like, "All right, thank you. Okay, land the plane." You know what? It keeps no record of right and wrong. I forgive y'all.
She get that.
I forgive y'all for being
rude.
Did
she get that from Pastor Jay?
I don't know.
Land the plane. Yeah, I've mentioned that in some of my sermons. Well, I think let's just jump to the very end of my notes. Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." And so 77 times seven, 490 times. But really, it's the 77. It's the perfect, complete number. Always, continually. Like, there is no number. You just...
It's what you do.
Yeah.
It's not something you exercise some of the times or part of the times. It's what you do all the time. It's who you are all the time. Like, there is no something too big. There is no something too much. Like, you always just... Because it doesn't exist with God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I keep messing up. Well, he keeps showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I keep doing that wrong. And he keeps showing up. Some of us have those things that... We're probably approaching that number, whether it's our language or lust or whatever it is. Like, you keep going through the same sin over and over and over again, and it's painful, and you want it to go away, but thank God he continues to forgive you, right? And doesn't go, yeah, it's been 479. Sorry, I met my quota. You're done.
Yeah, wow. I never thought about it that way. But what if God had a number on us?
We'd be screwed, bro. Especially me. I'd have exceeded that a long time ago.
I'm only going to forgive you 490 times, and after that, you're going to hell.
Oh, boy. Well, day three on this planet, I was going to hell probably.
Well, I think a good way to wrap this up is the title is Love Keeps No Record of Wrongs. And so that applies to your marriage, it applies to your kids, it applies to your siblings, it applies to your parents, it applies to your friends, your coworkers, your teammates. And so I think I would ask the question, is who do you need to forgive? Like who is God laying on your heart to, you know what? I need to forgive that person, and I need to keep no record of wrong.